The Star Wars Report podcast is brought to you by Sphero. These are the droids you're looking for. Control R2-D2, BB-8, and BB-9E with your smart device. Watch the Star Wars films together, explore holographic simulations, and so many more fun times, all available at a brand new lower price at Sphero.com/Star Wars. Get a free force band with any order while supplies last, and be sure to use code StarWarsReport10 for an extra 10% off.
This week's episode of the Star Wars Report is brought to you by the good folks supporting us over on patreon.com/StarWarsReport.
Let's do the show, folks!
Come, come, come!
And who might you be?
It's the Star Wars Report!
Star Wars Report!
Woo! Star Wars Report! The place for Star Wars news, features, interviews, and more.
Then we can do something epic!
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Please delete as appropriate.
The Force. It's calling to you. Just let it in.
So have you guys seen the Avengers Infinity War movie yet?
I could have watched it 2 days ago, but my son really, really wants to watch it with me. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, I'll wait. And then he's got a bunch of scout stuff. So I got to wait till Monday, maybe Sunday.
Dude.
If I'm lucky, Saturday night.
That is too long.
It is too long. Yeah. You've seen it, Michael?
I did. Yeah, I saw it last night. Well, because I had already, like I had told you, Bruce, I'd already been spoiled on it, which turns out I wasn't as spoiled as I thought I was. Mm. But
that's a good spoiled to be right there.
Oh, yeah, because I'm waiting for stuff to happen, and then it happens, but then another thing happens that kind of, like, negates the spoiler, and I'm like, huh.
Like, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess a good thing because it's like, oh, this is going to happen, and then it happens, you're like, yep, because I was spoiled, and then it turns around and things happen differently. I'm like, oh. Because, see, that's the thing about the movie is that, you know, with the stones, they can manipulate both time and reality.
Mm, yes.
So,
Don't say anymore.
Well, I was just saying that.
I know, but just don't say anymore. See, this is what I say to my wife, because she'll start saying something. I'm like, well, no, don't spoil it. She goes, I'm not going to say about the blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you just spoiled it.
See, and I'm that way with my mom and my sister because I know they're never going to go and see a lot of these movies. And they're like, well, why would I want to go and see it now? Like, who are you kidding? You've never seen a Marvel movie yet. My mom has actually started to watch, but not my sister.
No, awesome. Hey, you know what? We just started the Star Wars Report show. There you go.
Nice.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for joining the Star Wars Report. I'm Bruce Gibson. And we were just talking Avengers, but that's the last we're going to be talking about Avengers. We're going to be talking about Star Wars, of course, here on the Star Wars Report. And, of course, with me, as always, is Mark Herleman.
Hey, hey, everybody. That was slick, man. I almost felt like Riley was piloting this one.
See, I've learned from the best, right?
You were taking notes.
And speaking of the best, we also have... Wait, I was going to say Michael Morris, but... Yeah, I guess we do.
I thought I was like, wait, did he have the notes wrong? Was he thinking Christy was joining and he got me instead?
Christy Morris is here, the best of the best.
No, she decided that she's going to go have dinner with her mom. And I'm like, well, you stay there.
Good, because this is more fun than having dinner with Christy's mom.
Well, I don't know. It's dinner.
Oh, that's true. I'm hungry.
Like food. Yeah.
I'm on a diet, so I'm really like starving lately. Yeah, because I went to the doctor and they said, you know, my weight was up. I was like, yeah, I know, duh. And then my cholesterol's up, and I'm like, oh, I really do need to start doing something.
Bruce,
we
are like twins, man. I have the exact same thing just happened to me too.
Really?
Yeah, it's so weird how often you and I are like on the exact same wavelength. Yeah,
guys, calories. Calories, cholesterol, you don't count it. It's like Rogaine. Once you start, you can't stop. Don't start. Just don't start.
Did you say like Rogaine?
Yeah.
Well, I have to because they said otherwise I'll get diabetes. So, you know, between the two options, I guess I'll start this endless cycle.
They didn't tell me that. That's scary. So for anybody who's listening is just wondering, it's like, where's Riley? Well, if you listen to the last show, you would know why Riley's not here. But if you didn't listen to the last show, I don't blame you. But the reason...
wow.
I'm just kidding. The reason Riley's not here is because he is being... I was going to say shipped off, but it's more like flown off to the Air Force because they fly, right? He's driving, actually, from Georgia to Texas to do some things at the Air Force. So he's not going to be on for the next couple of weeks. He's probably not going to be on all that often. Every once in a while, he'll be on. We'll see. It just all depends how busy he's going to be doing his Air Force duty. So speaking of...
Yeah, his training under Kanan has begun.
Exactly. You know, so the Padawans are left behind here to do the show. So you're going to hear different voices every week. Sometimes you'll hear Mark, maybe all the time, maybe some of the times, Michael sometimes. We're going to have all kinds of people. We have a Star Wars Report family of people that are just going to rotate throughout. So it's not going to be necessarily the same voices, because sometimes it's good to hear from different voices and different points of view. So we're going to start off this show with the three of us. And then next week, who knows? Who knows? There'll be all kinds of surprises coming up. But on today's show, we've got a lot to talk about. We have news items, which are things like, maybe a new animated Star Wars series coming. That's in the news. We have May the 4th coming up. So we've got things like that. And we also have Boba's Bounty, as always. That's a staple. That's going to stay. And then later in the show, towards the end, if you don't want to be spoiled, we're going to talk about some Solo spoilers, right, which should be fun. So
what about the dance party? That you didn't mention that segment. You told me that that was going to be a new thing you were adding.
Well, that's going to be for the video show, so we can actually see you dancing.
Oh, excellent.
So okay. if listeners want to see a live video dance party show, we will do it. Just write us in or tweet to us at Star Wars Report and we'll do the dance party show.
You better not. You're going to end up having somebody ask for that.
If they do, I'll do it. We just need a disco ball.
I got that.
Okay.
It's right above me to the left.
All right. We're going to Oregon for the dance party.
That's right. We'll set it up in the Rogue studio.
We have something to report.
Come closer. I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
All right. So let's do some news. We've got some news, Mark. What's up?
That's right. Well, the first story we got actually comes from StarWars.com. We've got that animated series we were hoping to hear about. It's an all-new, exciting animated adventure series about Kazuda Zainono. I know I'm not ever going to say that right until I finally hear it said officially. A young pilot recruited by the Resistance and tasked with a top-secret mission to spy on the growing threat of the First Order. That's exciting in and of itself. It will premiere around fall on the Disney Channel in US and thereafter on Disney XD around the world. This is going to be set in the time prior to The Force Awakens. It's going to feature our beloved BB-8 alongside ace pilots and other colorful new characters that appear. There's also going to be fan favorites Poe Dameron, Captain Phasma. Those will both be voiced by the actors that portray them on screen, Oscar Isaac and Gwendolyn Christie, respectively. And we've got some things about this from Filoni himself. He says, the idea for Star Wars Resistance came out of my interest in World War II aircraft and air fighter pilots. He says, my grandfather was a pilot and my uncle flew and restored planes, so that's been a big influence on me. There's a long history of high-speed racing in Star Wars, and I think we've captured that sense of excitement in the anime-inspired style. Now, granted, a lot of people, they were like, anime-inspired? So that kind of got a splash out there. They don't really tell us much on that, but he does continue, in which some of the entire team has been wanting to do for a long time. The senior vice president, programming and general manager for XD said, our colleagues at Lucasfilm have created a compelling narrative for an untold moment in the Star Wars galaxy, and we're excited to partner with them again on this new ongoing series. Star Wars Resistance will bring viewers across generations an engaging story with heart, humor, and both new and familiar characters.
Cool. So I'm excited about this. So we're talking fall. So that's not going to be that far from now. Time's going to fly by. I'm ready for this. Mm-hmm. So now, didn't we hear about that name being a trademark out
yes.
there? The Star yes. Wars Resistance? So we kind
about
of...
About a month, maybe 2 months ago, yeah, that splashed on our pond radar.
Yeah, which I was hoping it was going to be a live action series, which I thought would be cool. But this is cool, too, because we actually have actors from the movies doing the voices of Phasma and Poe. So that's mm-hmm. that's really cool.
Well, the only thing that kind of concerns me with that is you almost get the sensation that these characters aren't going to be main characters. Like, they're going to be the Nick Fury on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. only show up every now and again type characters. And it weirds me out because like BB-8's going to be there, but BB-8's Poe's droid. So I kind of want to see Poe a lot. Like I don't want him to be some side character that only shows up to do the missions or something like that. Like, but the interesting thing too is this is also set in a spot where we already have a couple book and comic series and stuff. So hopefully we won't have anything like that that kind of crunches into each other. I know that's one of the things where Nathan likes to pull his hair out about when things don't line up, but hey, for the first time ever, he's pretty excited. Yeah, not anymore. Yeah.
Well, you know, when they say a young pilot, I'm just wondering, I wonder how young. Do you think it's going to be like Ezra young, like a teenager? I have a feeling it's going to be like a teenager.
Maybe Ezra, because, I mean, Ezra was, what, 14 when it started and, yeah, like, 16, 17? I could see a 16-year-old coming to the ranks. I mean, you know, when you think about, like, in Legends, New Jedi Order, when Jaina Solo started flying for Rogue Squadron, they gave her a lot of guff for it, and yet Leia turned around and was like, hey, Gavin Darklighter, when did you start? You know, you were a teen. So it's not too unbecoming to have a teenage pilot. So I think
horse.
16 would be a good number. What's that, Michael?
I said, go kiss a horse.
Yeah, right?
Well, I mean, this character, Kazuda, I'm going to have to hear that out loud. But Kazuda,
yeah, that's one, like is the A silent? Or
yeah.
Are we just going to call him Z, like Parzival?
Like a kazoo. Kazuda. So he's going to be spying on the threat of the First Order. Now, that sounds really cool to me because I've been wanting to know what is going on in this unknown region. And I don't know if we're going to get that in this show, but I'm ready to start finding some backstory on the First Order. I want to know about the unknown region. I want to know about Snoke. I want to know about how Kylo Ren got involved. I don't know. Are we going to get that, do you think, in this series, or is that going to be safe for something else?
I think if you're going to explore that era, this is where you're going to do it. Because think about before the Awakening, right? That's where Poe Dameron discovers a lot of this stuff. So I think this is going to set after Before the Awakening, yet still before The Force Awakens. But I think what Poe discovers in that little short story, I think that's going to be what sets this kid on his mission. I mean, if they were paying attention to the stories they have out there already, that's the perfect setup right there. And I mean, the end of that story, it's like, oh my gosh, the First Order is a threat, and yet we can't do anything. I mean, it's total Cold War scenario, all set up and ready to go.
So, Mark, I guess then the way you're describing it, maybe we should refer to this era as the snooze cycle, since it's right there before the Awakening, and then, you know, the time between that and the actual Awakening. So, it's the snooze
cycle. Well, and if we are going to get any details on Snoke, though, I mean, having it set so beforehand, like, we could get a lot of details and yet have it where characters like Rey and stuff don't have the detail, because it would be only the Resistance High Command that would know this stuff. You know, right. She's not in a need-to-know position yet, but yet, after Episode 8, maybe she finds herself in that need-to-know position. She's the new Luke Skywalker of the new Rebellion, as it were.
But, you know, at the same time, I'm thinking, you know, they still have Episode 9 to do. And I think they may want the series to stay off of that stuff so that they can explore it maybe in 9. I know the script is done and they're getting ready to shoot, but it wouldn't surprise me if we don't get Snoke or any of this information, that we're just seeing the same familiar First Order stuff we've seen in the movies, and we're really not getting much background information.
See, and I could see that being the case just from what we've got. But think about this, though. I mean, you're not going to see Rey in this, you know, because she hasn't shown up on the radar of any of these people. So she won't be there. So you could do the Snoke angle, right, as the leadership of the First Order. You don't have to talk about Snoke. You could just talk about him as the Supreme Leader, right? Like, every reference to him could be just the Supreme Leader this and the Supreme Leader that. And they could start filling in this backstory on the Supreme Leader, how he rose to power, this, that, and the other thing. And it would be stuff that wouldn't be relatively important to Rey when she comes along, but to the people that watch the movie, like, this would be how you would get that information. That would be a slick way for them to, you know, put that narrative in there that people feel like they need. Because if we're never going to get that, I'm one of those that I feel like I need to have a little bit more. So, like, come on, give me those crumbs. I'm ready to nibble.
I don't know. Michael, what do you think? I mean, I'm thinking I'd like this to be more like the Clone Wars series than Rebels. I mean, I enjoyed Rebels, but I think Clone Wars explored the universe a little more than Rebels did, because Rebels stayed right with a core group.
You know, my thinking is that, yeah, that's probably going to be the case. I'm curious about, with it being anime, I'm curious about what that means as far as what their what's the word, like what their boundaries, because you know, so often we hear that they'll say, oh, you know, I wanted to do this, but you know, we couldn't put it in the budget to do new models for it or whatever. You know, the way some of the episodes were aired out of order was because they couldn't do the models for them. Talking back to Clone Wars, you know, they didn't have the models at that point or whatever. So with this, I mean, I imagine that this is going to be, I mean, I know now everything's also drawn digitally as well, but I mean, this is going to be actual drawings, not models. So
yeah, is this 2D then, or is it 3D anime? Do we know that?
So what I've seen looks like 2D, but I don't know if that's actual like actual art, that's what we can expect to see, or yeah, if that know. Is just something that they're doing just to kind of promote it, to sort of give you an idea for the style.
I think that's what kind of bothered me when I first saw that, because I mean, we only saw one real image of it, but it looked more cartoonish to me than the previous series, because maybe because it
but
was
more
2D.
Of BB-8,
yeah,
right? I mean, we've seen BB-8 and we see the picture of the Resistance fighter. The fighter itself looks beautiful. What worries me though, you know, Bruce, you were saying you want it to be more like the Clone Wars, and if this is set before the Force Awakens, they're not at war, you know, it's not open hostility at this point, so it's going to have to be That's why I see it being a gathering of information thing, because what can you do when you can't get caught in First Order space? I mean, Leia forms a resistance because the New Republic is not willing to do what she's doing. So everything she's doing, in a sense, is black op.
Yeah. So what
now,
are they doing?
If they did something.
What are they doing in this era? I mean, Rebels is fighting the Empire. They're spying, but how interesting can that be?
Yeah. So it has to jump forward, right? Like maybe after season one, we jump past episode 7, because then bam, now you're in full war, then you've got a perfect setup for however many seasons long you want to drag the war out, and you could, I mean, like that to me sounds more interesting. But when I keep thinking about the fact that this is before the war really launches when Hosnian Prime gets wiped out, and this is all before that, like, ah, man, they've got to jump, right? I mean, that sounds kind of boring. I'm not alone in this.
No, I mean, I'm excited about it, but at the same time, I'm just a little on the fence. Like they describe it, you know, oh, it's going to be engaging stories with heart and humor. It's like, no, that's fine. But how about heart, humor, action, adventure, intrigue? And, you know, it's just like, it doesn't sound exciting to me yet. I want to know more about it, because it's called the Resistance. There's got to be more to it than them just sitting around waiting to resist something. You know?
Yeah. And I think one of the aspects you could build up the anticipation of, like, if we get caught, we go to full on war. You know, I mean, so you could have lots of scenarios where, you know, the First Order is about to find the spy, that kind of thing. Or maybe they find out that they have a spy and it's all about, you know, cause we don't know where the spy's at. Like, is he sitting in his ship doing some recon from outside, or is he like in the trenches pulling a Finn? I mean, think about that. Finn is the only person right now that we know of that has that inside information on the First Order. But what if this character has actually served alongside stormtroopers or other officers and stuff and had worked his way onto the inside? I mean, there's so many angles that the word spy just doesn't really explain away, you know?
Yeah. It certainly will be interesting. So we only have a few months. Fall will be, I mean, we're not even into summer yet, and I'm already thinking like fall's just around the corner, but time flies, you know. It's like fall will be here sooner than you think. So Disney, it premieres on Disney Channel, but then each episode after that's going to be on Disney XD here in the States. So I'm looking forward to it. So let's.
Yeah. And speaking of things that you can't explain away, Comic Book Resources had put up this little internet meme going around about a continuity error from The Last Jedi from the throne room. And I, you know, I watched it and I was just kind of like, wow, I missed that. I mean, the action in that scene was so intense as it was. Like, I think that most people that missed it, that was why. There was just so many things going on at once. But have you guys had a chance to check out the missing weapon?
I did. I saw it. I mean, I didn't recognize it either. As many times as I watched the movie, I never saw it. And then when they pointed this out, I went and watched it and I said, oh, yeah, I see how it's like, you know, he's got two of these sword things and now all of a sudden one's just missing. But then I've saw people complain online. They said, well, if you're good at choreographing fight scenes and you know that it's not going to work to have this other sword, why didn't they just get rid of it in the first place instead of digitally taking it out? Because didn't Rian Johnson just say, oh, we'll take it out in post-production? Like, they recognized it, I think, while they were doing the scene or after they shot it.
See, I didn't know that. I mean, that's interesting. I would have thought, like, you know, use a way to disarm the weapon or, you know, maybe cut the person's hand off or something.
I don't know. Did you notice it, Michael, or have you watched it since?
So the funny thing is, one of the Facebook, Star Wars Facebook groups that I'm in, someone had brought it up, like, very early on. Like, I think actually, like, while it was still in theaters. And I was like, what are you talking about? But they just, like, kept on going on about this. And so finally they were able to, like, make a GIF of it or whatever. And, or GIF, GIF. But point being, you know, they made that. And then so you could see. And I was like, oh, wow, that's weird. And then, you know, now recently, I guess, media has been picking up on it. So I kind of imagine just that one guy just keeps talking about it until finally media is like, oh, wait, this guy's right. I wish I could remember who it was, because like I said, he was like on the ball from the beginning. It's weird. It seems to be kind of annoying. Like if it's something that they truly did see ahead of time and then they just chose to edit it rather than to just change the choreography. Is that
Don't think that was the case, because looking at the tweet from Paul Blank, he makes the joke about it being the choreographer. But sir, as cool as it may look, the Red Guard has two knives. He could just stab right in the back. Director, we'll just edit one out halfway through the movie. No one will notice. FX guy, done. So I don't think that they actually knew about this. I think it's one of those things that they found and discovered later into the game. Right.
Yeah, but when you're shooting that scene, I'm not talking about the director or anybody, but the actual like actors. I mean, the guy who's dressed up as the Praetorian guard is like, hey, wait, guys, I got her like in a lock with one axe or sword, and I'm just holding this other one out here. Like,
yeah, like Daisy Ridley, I mean, I don't expect her to know, or, you know, for that something for her to catch. But yeah, the choreographer or the actual guy doing the stunt, one of them should have recognized, well, wouldn't I just stab her? Like, yeah.
Well, that's because Mark Hamill was already called, you know, he's like, my character wouldn't do this. And the director's like, look, I don't care what you think your character would or wouldn't do. This is what's happening. So the other guy's like, all right, I guess I'm just going to forget about this weapon then.
It's like, Ron's kind of being a jerk.
Well, it doesn't bother me. I mean, I've watched it. It doesn't bother me because in a lot of ways, it looks like it could be, because it goes behind her back and even his back or her back, who's ever in the costume. And you can just maybe assume that the sword dropped or fell out. But then I've heard people say that too online, and they'll say, like, oh, well, what a wimpy guard that they couldn't even just hold it with a hand that wasn't doing
anything.
Well,
that's just being silly at that point. But, yeah, I mean, you know, as fans will
I'm in the same boat. I think because the action's going so fast, it's something that you can easily forgive and forget about. Right. I mean, to me, I think this one is even less so than my annoyance with the fact that Finn was cut from the front when he was cut in the back in the movie.
God.
Come on.
You can
fix that. Well, I mean, think about this. I'm still holding the grudge that there's a blue Yoda in Return of the Jedi and Empire Strikes Back. I'm like, come on. You can't fix this.
Wait. What do you mean there's a blue Yoda?
You read your novelization for Empire Strikes Back, and Yoda is blue, even in newer ones. They still won't fix it.
There was also ducks in those, so, you know, we just...
Well, you know what? This doesn't bother me because there's something that bothers me even more, and this is going on for 40 years or whatever, and that's in A New Hope with the Sandcrawler, because R2 rolls away, but then you see R2 near the Sandcrawler again with the Jawas.
More importantly,
the blue cap on the escape pod, that one drives me up a wall.
Or the stormtrooper that bumped his head. You know, I mean, that's become legendary at this point. So maybe like, you know, 30 years from now, everyone's going to be trying to track down this Praetorian, and there's going to be arguments about which one was the one that actually did that scene. And
we need, you know, they'll write a story, and the story will be all about getting in that guy's head and how when lightsabers come near him, he drops things.
Yeah. Well, Well, but he like, and it's not just dropped. He like makes it disappear in a an alternate dimension or something. You know what? It ended up going to the what was the name of it in Rebels? The World Between Worlds. That's where it is.
Oh yeah,
they're going. If Ezra would have poked around a little bit more in the World Between Worlds, he would have found
that's
that.
That's it. Ezra stole the gun. Ezra reached through and took the knife.
Yes, best retcon ever.
yes, because I was gonna say, I'm like, even when the stormtrooper bounced his head, they retcon that later and made it where Fett bounced his head off of things all the time. Right. Like, see, it was always intentional.
Yeah.
All right, that's my headcanon.
I was gonna say, like, they'll end up doing a special edition later on where you hear like a clanging noise, but this is way better. I love the idea of. Oh my God! That's
if
funny.
Anybody ever mentions this scene to you, just say that's because Ezra reached through the portal and pulled the knife from him.
Yep, that was it in a nutshell.
You just
man.
Can't see it; it's behind them.
Mark, that was genius, buddy.
You're welcome. Hey, but speaking of genius, and may the fourth be with you and all that. The Star Wars Day Lego, what is it? The Ultimate Collector's Series Y-Wing Starfighter is coming out. That's what the UCS stands for. I had to look that up at first because I wasn't smart enough to look at the little print on the side that broke it down. But they provide an intricate building experience. It's packed full of amazing, highly authentic details, including wheel-activated rotating cannons to give you full control of the battlefield and a cockpit featuring Gold Leader and R2 BHD droid minifigures. It's going to be available exclusively from Lego stores and the shop.lego.com. It's going to consist of 1,967 pieces measuring over 7 centimeters high, 61 centimeters long, and 11 centimeters wide. This thing looks beautiful. I mean, I'm not one to shell out money on the high-end Legos only because it's just so much, but man, if ever I had a free Lego pass, that one would be one I'd jump on.
Yeah, I mean, even from a distance, it doesn't even look Lego.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it looks like an actual model.
Yeah, you have to get up on it, and then you're like, oh, yeah, it's got all the pegs and everything, but yeah.
Yeah, see, I think Bruce knows, but Mark doesn't realize at what a sore spot this is for me, because...
Ezra took your Legos through the portal.
He did. I was playing with it and he took my favorite one. No. they did the other one for Rogue One, I bought that one. And it's a really, really nice set. Except for one thing that's so annoying to me. The R2 unit sits in sideways.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Mm-hmm. That is really weird. You showed that to me, and it's like, why would they do that?
I know. I was so mad. I'm like, what? No. The R2 unit, you know, basically he should be like shoulder to shoulder with the cockpit, but no, they have him turned, and it really shouldn't be a big deal to me, but it really, really takes that down. I mean, otherwise, it's pretty much a perfect Lego set in my mind. But that one little thing.
Well, see, Lego is just interesting in that for me in general, because it's like that quasi canon, you know? I mean, think about the fact that like you've got your Freemakers and stuff and you got a Force user that builds things with Legos. I'm like, how would you make a live action version of that power?
Oh, Michael's showing us here on the video.
Yeah, no one else can see this, but just so they get a better idea, you know, just make sure if I wasn't explaining it correctly. But yeah. Don't understand why.
Yeah, sideways R2 unit, whatever.
Yeah, that is enough to make you go completely nuts.
And you know,
but
Mark, you and I both made a mistake. We keep saying Legos. I've been corrected before. It's just Lego.
Ah, yeah.
That's right. Yeah. You don't...
Well, see, that's because we have more than one set.
That's true. We have lots of Legos. Legos.
Is it like monies?
But no, man. Look at the little tiny wires in the, if you guys got the link up, the one where the R2 unit's sitting, there are little intricate wires that are running along it, not just like the big flagstaff ones that are also mirroring it, but they're like little tiny, look like flexible ones. Like there is a lot of detail on this thing. I am floored in just that aspect alone. Like the back, you take the cockpit off of this thing and just the whole back of it. And that is a glorious little model in and of itself. Like you almost can't tell it's Lego.
Yeah, that's what I think is really cool. I mean, not that I don't want anything that look like Lego, but it looks so good. I mean, it's like, because it doesn't. It does not look Lego. Then if you really start to look at it for a second, you're like, oh, wait, is this Lego? Because you see the little bumps on certain things. But yeah, I mean, it looks awesome. Like, I could spend a whole week on putting that together, I'm sure. Because I'll start to lose pieces. 1967. Oh, my gosh. 1967 pieces. That's the year I was born. I'll do a piece each year for my birth. Anyway.
Hey. Anyway, the other fun stuff from Star Wars Day is we've got Free Comic Book Day. That one's coming out the first Saturday in May. And there is a Star Wars one. Thanks, Michael, for pointing that out. It's the Star Wars Adventures. It's an all-new story set before Star Wars A New Hope, featuring bounty hunters Zuckuss and Forlome finally have their two of the biggest scoundrels in the galaxy in their sights. And on the cover, we see Han and Chewie between the two of them. So it, you know, looks like it'd be a fun little adventure. Bummer for me is this is going to be the first comic book day, the free comic book days that I have missed in 10 years due to scouting. I'm taking my last leadership training and it falls that weekend. I'm like, and I can't get out of it either. I'm the senior patrol leader for our patrol.
Well, just lead them to the comic book store.
Hey, I actually like, we're going on a 25-mile hike into town.
Wait, hold on. I don't have time for that. How many kids can I get in an Uber?
Well, luckily it's all adults, so I'm like, who's driving? Beyond that, I wish there was actually more than one. I mean, they always seem to do just one. I don't think maybe one year they did two, but aside from that, there's nothing really more Star Wars-y for you on your comics, but there are some Star Wars May the 4th deals. If you go to starwars.com to check out what they've got, there are some backpacks and stuff with some, I don't know if they're, looks like tablet cases that they've got over at Assembly. They've got a special event with 25% off. That's going from May 4th through 6th. There is Artissimo. They've got some cool little ready-to-hang wall art and stuff. You can get 15% off if you use their promo code. Let's see. Bandai, Bluefin, they got 25% off on their stuff with their model kits and stuff.
There's just
Box
tons.
Lunch. There is a lot. Box Lunch got 30% off certain select ones. And then you've got the Lego clock and watches there. Oh, man, that R2 and 3PO look kind of cool. I might actually have to give my son one. Amazon, they're doing some specials on there. Right. Lego watches are doing stuff. There's all sorts of goodies here.
Okay.
So, check that out.
The fan wrap stuff, I mean, there's just tons. You haven't even probably got through half of them. But fan wraps, you know what's getting me excited about this is I don't know why I didn't think of this when I saw The Last Jedi, but I want the Porg smashed up on my windshield of my car. Just like on the Millennium Falcon. You know, the Porg just like smashed up against the window. Well, they're, you know, like the Garfields. You know, this
Christine
little Garfield
has one. It's called Porg. It's called Porg on Board.
I want one. I'm Porg saying that, board. Michael, because you can go and buy more. You go shopping more than I do. So I want I want the Porg on Borg. On board. Borg. No, Borg is Trek. Porg on board. I want the Chewbacca bandolier seatbelt cover. I went, that is so cool.
See, I'm all on that FGX. They're the Boba Fett glasses. It even comes with the Boba Fett glass case where it looks like it's the promo packaging they used on the Unleashed figure of Fett. Looks like they just used that stock image and have reused it because that's a glorious figure. I got it sitting over here in front of my TV. Oh, just beautiful.
I want the Boba Fett watch. I think it's Boba Fett. It looks like a Boba Fett watch. I want that. That's from Invicta.
Ooh, and Funko's got some nice looking. Do you see the Ewok on the speeder bike? I haven't seen that one in physical form, but I got to find it. So we got some Hannah Anderson's got some clothes. Her universe, of course, 30% off on Ashley Eckstein's merch. The High Point Design's got some Vader slippers. Hot Topic is doing their little thing with $15 in-store and online orders on their tees. Oh, there is that Boba Fett watch you were talking about. Ooh, that is nice.
Got concerned there for a moment. I was like, am I talking to Mark or Christy? That's all she ever.
I like my merch.
That's all she goes on and on about. It's the Hot Topic stuff and the her universe and everything.
Yeah, and that LBMB that window for your car thing. I got to get a replacement one of those sunshades. Mine's actually starting to fall
apart. I've got
apart.
Mine too. Yeah.
So one thing, you know, you mentioned Bandai and you know Bluefin earlier. Now, unfortunately, this because of this story, it's not going to be available come May 4th, but unless something changes, maybe. We'll see. But so SH Figure Arts, which is the really expensive 6-inch figures that I like to get, I've been holding out for like a year now for the they revealed the Revenge of the Sith Anakin. And then
and
a few days ago, they're like, and it's going to have two or three, I can't remember exactly how, but at least two other heads. So a total of like three different heads, like different facial expressions. And and I'm like, oh, this is going to be awesome. This is going to be so good. And it went on sale at like 4 or 5 a.m. this morning and sold out in an hour.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
so
that's brutal.
Yeah, maybe there'll be like another window or something. But yeah, I, and like I said, I've been waiting on this thing for a year, and then it sold out in an hour.
That's crazy. Well, you know, that reminds me, since we're talking about May the 4th and waiting for things, are there plans of like standing in line at midnight at stores for May the 4th, or is that kind of dying off? Because I feel like there's less and less in stores, and it's more online things now.
Yeah, see, I don't think that's because I don't think they're doing, or at least not as many of the product releases. So, I mean, maybe when we get our next, you know, this one, they couldn't even come up with an exact name for it, whether it was, you know, I heard Wookiee Weekend, I heard Falcon Friday, I heard
Solo Saturday.
Yeah, like I heard several different ones. It sounds like the marketing team was asleep for this one. Which I kind of get, because it's, you know, this is a big thing. If you're wanting to orchestrate something this massive, doing it twice in 1 year is a lot to take on. So, this year, not quite the same situation. Going forward, that's actually questionable, because of course, Toys R Us is, pretty much has its death rattles going right now.
Yeah, so. But KB is coming back like a falcon.
Yeah, but...
on fire. Falcon on fire is not a phoenix. Yeah, you're going to die too.
we'll see. That's something where I'm not going to get my hopes up on anything like that, you know, until we get more information. But, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm...
Regal Robot, did you guys see the Mandalorian skulls they got? 25% off on all those. Yeah. I look at that and I'm like, I remember seeing in the Solo trailer, we saw the big tusks on that one thing. And I was thinking like, man, maybe that's the Mandalorian, you know, kind of skull. But I begin to kind of have my doubts when I'm looking at one of these. Yeah, looking at this thing, it's beautiful. It's sitting on top of one of their Star Wars cafe tables. But man, like, oh, that's beautiful. The people that have that kind of ability to create those kind of things are just, I love it. I love it.
I'm just surprised how much merchandise there is, because I didn't expect to see this much.
Now, this roommate's decor, we've got some of that wallpaper, right, Bruce?
Do we? Wait, where are you seeing that?
Yeah, the X-Wings and all that. Keep going.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're almost there. Yeah.
Oh.
There's the backpacks. Oh, and hey, look at the pork shirt. Well, oh, Bruce, we got to get you that pork shirt, man. Oh, wait, the pork's going to get stabbed with the lightsaber.
I went back to that one model. Let me go back to... Okay. yeah.
And phone cases. We've got some signed products and stuff by Topps Authentics. I mean, Torrid's got some killer-looking jackets. I mean, granted, I'm a guy, and that's aimed for girls, but that Poe Dameron jacket looks like it might fit me. Or is that a Han Solo one? I can't quite really tell. We got some dinnerware stuff. There is some really cool-looking like sushi set with a Death Star. Like, that's pretty cool. I don't know. I don't know about you guys, but like, I've been stopping by all the different home decor areas in the local stores and stuff, and Target has been on point. I'm surprised that there is nothing Target related here right now, because they seem to be, of all the stores out there, the one that has had their finger on the pulse when it comes to the Force Fridays and stuff. Yeah. And they're the only one that are really sticking around in the terms of like what's going on with Toys R Us. And yet I see nothing Target here. No. Like, that seems to be really odd, unless they're planning something to drop.
I was thinking that too. And I don't know if it's because the movie was kind of late in development, because they had to redo things and they couldn't work out a deal with Target to get merchandise produced and ordered into stores for them. And it's easier to do it for online retailers. But then again, why not have it on Target.com? I don't know. I have no idea. I really think that is odd, because I always think, when I think of Force Friday or May the 4th and merchandise, I always think Target. And that's where I go. And I'm not seeing anything so far.
So what I can say is, here's what I can say that you should probably expect, though, is that Star Wars merchandise, and two, what they may be doing is, because of course with Free Comic Book Day, you know, there's always the comic book movie promotion that goes on around this time as well. So they may be just doing select toys, so it may not be just limited to, say, Star Wars. But anyhow, I would say you can probably expect to see a $10 off $50 or less, or let's see, up to $50 or more, $10 off, $100 or more, $25 off. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much their standard that they do quite often for the events, and then also throughout the year. So that's what I would put my money on seeing.
Yeah. Now, if I can use that Target, can I also use that towards the Reese's Puffs cereal if I need to get that with it?
Is that Star Wars brand Reese's Puffs?
No, but
probably not.
Okay.
Yeah, you want Kessel Run Reese's Puffs.
Ooh, that sounds good. Well, I can't do that on my diet. I'm trying to avoid some sugar. So there's too much sugar in the Reese's Puffs. So unfortunately,
no Bon Jovi for you.
No, unfortunately not. So, well, that's all the stuff we can get. But what's the stuff we already got or maybe done this week? So let's do some Boba's Bounty.
He's worth a lot to me. As you wish.
Michael, you're first. Anything that you've got on Boba's Bounty for us?
I caught a space pirate.
What does that mean?
Like for bounty hunting? Isn't that what we're talking
no,
about?
No. Something that you bought.
Oh, like Captain Jack stole the Falcon and you chased him down?
Yeah. Yep.
I was just borrowing
it. Oh, wait. I know. He was trying to be funny.
Shut up.
Anyway.
My dad puns were working overtime there. I caught it.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. I see.
The one guy who's not a really dad funny. Has the dad puns on the show.
So here's the thing. I've been doing fairly well, you know, getting caught up on, you know, all the Solo merch that I've wanted coming out. And then, of course, I collect the Black Series figures. I actually managed to get Han like 2 weeks before they were supposed to go on sale. They dropped them at Walmart. And so I was actually able to get it. And then, of course, because they were running their promotion, I got it for $5.
Lucky son of a!
And I've since then I found Tarkin. Now, nice. Granted, had to pay full price for him, but also found Kira, who is actually from the next wave.
Nice. Oh, I want that.
Nice.
But the one that I actually wanted that has kept eluding me has been Lando. Because I only saw him one time, and the box was all dinged up, and so of course I actually collect these in the packaging, and not
well. That was the one to start your open set. You were supposed to buy that one to open, so you still had to get your Lando.
That's
in the
a good
package.
Point. Yes, you should have got that one to open.
That's where my addiction started. And then when I had the money, it was like, and then I'll buy another one so I can sell it on eBay later when it becomes really cool. And I am not getting rid of that Revan. No, I'm still holding on to it. Both of them.
Well, if you do get rid of it, I'll take it.
Well,
one of them.
So you're on the list.
we'll work out opens later or whatever. But for now, today, like just a couple of hours ago,
what?
Popped into a Target.
You got them.
And I finally got the Donald Glover Lando. Nice. So
what have we here?
I'm
looking for that
complete.
Range Trooper. That's the one that I've got to find. Have you seen any of those?
The Range Trooper?
The one with the big mag boots and the like fur jacket.
Like everywhere. He's
what?
Yeah. Yeah. I think
I hate my Walmart.
Yeah, he is all over the place. Well, one thing I can tell you is do you have a Target near you? Because Target is the better place to look.
It's like 37 miles, but it's picked over, man. Medford has one thing, and that is closet Star Wars fans. And they just hit that thing harder than a prison workbench.
So anyhow, Target, I mean, because now where I, like I said, I did find that one Han like early on. That's it. I don't, there is nothing. All of my Walmarts, like there's basically the section where they're supposed to stock Star Wars stuff. It's just completely empty.
Wow.
That's my Walmart.
That's everybody's Walmarts apparently. There's something going on. I think they said with their audits, like Walmart is like they're going through doing an audit right now or whatever, and that's like screwed up all of Walmart's inventory in all of their stores across the states apparently.
They're all being sent to the one county where the guy that made the audit program works and lives.
He's like, it's going to be the best Star Wars event ever.
I'm going to get five of everything.
Yeah. Look, point is, I got my Lando, so I'm happy.
Yeah, you're happy. When you said you couldn't find the Lando, I was like, oh no, because he's your favorite character. You have to get Lando.
Yeah, you would think that, because honestly, I was like, you know what? Because these figures, pretty much the first waves, it's always the later waves that are harder to find. But the first waves are pretty easy, and you can actually even find them later on discounts. So I was like, you know, whatever. If I may just hold off on the others, but I'll get my Lando. And then it's like, when I couldn't see him, I'm like, I got to go to this store. I got to keep looking. So I can rest now.
Good. Nah,
until the Skip Lando comes out, which is like in the next wave or two. They know how to get me.
So, Mark, did you get a Lando or did you do something else this week?
Well, I did get a Lando, but my Lando happened to be on the backside cover of the Last Shot novel, which had Han on the front and Lando on the back. But the Lando one just looks glorious because he's walking away. There's something about a reverse silhouette that just speaks to the man. So, I got that this week. That was pretty cool. I'm looking forward to getting into that book. I'm into the first of the two flashbacks. There's a lot of flashbacks going on, kind of an interesting little story there going on. But I also had a Star Wars Death Star popcorn popper that was given to us for Christmas that we set in a box, and I put it up in the studio and I forgot all about it because I was like, oh, it's a Star Wars thing on our shelf, you know. And my littlest one comes down and she's like, Dad, I don't want to eat the popcorn. So we busted that out. It's pretty cool, man. And a little popcorn bowl is the whole Death Star with the little dish and stuff. You take that whole thing off and bam, it's ready to go. I don't know if you guys can see it. It's actually sitting behind me right now. But so we had that. Then my son, we went out and for his Boy Scout patrol, they are Rebel Patrol, and he has been working on a patrol flag. And Bruce, I sent you a shot of the photo. Hopefully we'll add that to the show notes here. But he got two because they screwed up. So he got two for the price of one. They were only $35 and they are just killer. They've got the little Stormtrooper skull and crossbone, which was their original patrol patch, and now they've got the Rebel Patrol patch for the newer kids that joined. So it's got both their original and the new one on there. So they got a kick out of that. And then the other thing was, my wife went down to Disneyland with my daughter Taylor over spring break, because Taylor did that dance competition down there. And while she was down there, she scored me some of my very first Titanium series figures. And she got them. Normally they're $39.95. She got them $5 each, and she got me a K2SO, the black R2-D2 unit, as well as Chirrut and Base, which I have not been able to find in any black series at all. So I'm like totally stoked with those. But man, I've never had those titanium figures before. Heavy, man. Holy cow. But they look beautiful. I'm afraid to ding them though, because they're being metal. Like, I'm afraid the paint's going to chip. So I'm hesitant to pull them out of the box. I took that R2 unit out, but I immediately put them right back in because even the packaging is beautiful on those things, man.
Now, Mark, I got to back you up though to the popcorn popper. Because I heard that the newer version actually has a, when it, the popcorn pops, actually has a ring that goes out.
No, I don't have that one. Mine's older.
I know.
Mine just sends the popcorn in every direction.
Yeah, the new one, it all goes out, but there's actually a ring that goes out from it at the same time. That's a special edition joke if... Bruce is
well.
Bruce
I, like, I get I the know. Ring. They edit out the ring.
Yeah,
the blue ring. Mm-hmm. I know what you're talking about.
I didn't know. I'm like, maybe that joke didn't.
No, they took it out just like they took out the sword in the guard's other hand. No, Ezra took out the ring. That's what it was.
Yes.
And stole some of Mark's popcorn.
Okay, for my Boba's Bounty, I'm so excited to talk about this. I've waited for like 38 years to mention this. I when I was in sixth grade or seventh grade, whatever it was, I got the book when it came out through like Scholastic Books or whatever at school, Han Solo's Revenge by Brian Daley. And back then, and this was in 1980, and even says on the back, first paperback publication. When I got it at the time, I read a little bit of it, but I didn't finish it. Because back then, when I was younger, I never finished novels. I always started them, never finished them. Now I read novels all the time, but I've never read this one. I finally read it. 38 years. It took me 38 years to finish this book. That's only like 300 pages. No, not even that. 200 yeah. pages. 198 pages. And I finally finished it, and it's my original first edition paperback of Han Solo's Revenge. So I'm very happy.
That's a killer find. I've got the original of the three Lando books. They're like super old, super yellow, because I got them from like some secondhand store.
Yeah, I never bought the other two at that time, but I did as an adult later find the other two at a used bookstore, and I have this. I haven't read those yet either, but I had to get through this one. I know it's like the second, like the chronology of the three or something, but still I had to read
it's the second trilogy. Now that's not the one that's got the cat guy with him, right? The Targaryen or whatever
you're
called.
Thinking of at Star's End.
That was Star's End. Yeah. Okay, yeah, that both those series were good, man.
So it's good. I told Bruce this earlier, but I'll tell for you and the audience, Mark, that at Star's End was actually my first Star Wars book that I ever got, and I'd found it at a yard sale as a child, and you know, of course, like that was during that time when there was nothing that you could actually buy. Yeah. So I'm like, this is a Star Wars thing, you know. So I'm like, I'm getting it, and that book is actually where I first learned the proper spelling of the word damn. Credit to her, because I took it to school and I was like, I don't recognize this word. I'm gonna go ask my teacher. What's this word? And she like kind of looks at me like, are you trying to
get
mess
me to
with
say
me
it.
Or do you actually not know? And then she kind of is like, okay, I see, he's serious. You know, because I was little. And so she's like, it's damn. I'm like the cuss word? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. And then I went back to my desk and just finished reading the book. So, yeah, there you go. That's how I learned to curse correctly in
to spell it
writing
right.
form. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that reminds me when I was in elementary school when I was real little, we had to fill out some form. I don't know what it was for some upcoming testing or whatever. And, you know, uh-huh. I'm a boy. I'm a little boy, right? And then on the form it asked, you know, to check male or female. And I didn't know what that was. And I raised my hand and I said to the teacher, I said, am I male or female?
They're like, Bruce, you're pansexual.
Oh, my God. Oh. Adventures of Mark's Facebook feed.
Right. That's what's so funny.
Hey, this is Sam Witwer from Being Human, and you're listening to the Star Wars Report.
This episode of the Star Wars Report is brought to you by Spiro. Now, with Spiro, you can get an R2-D2, a BB-8, or a BB-9E droid that you can control with your own smart device. And you can get R2-D2 right now for $99. And BB-8 you can get for $79. These are really great deals. And we can actually do even better than that. When you go to checkout at Spiro.com/Star Wars, you can save an additional 10% just because you're a listener of the Star Wars Report. When you go to check out, use the code StarWarsReport10, and that's when you can receive the additional 10% off. Plus, you're also getting a free force band that helps you can control the droid. And these things are cute. You've seen them before, the little tiny R2-D2s and BB-8s out there. This is your chance to get it at a discount at 10% off. So we want to thank Spiro for their support of the Star Wars Report. And again, go visit Spiro.com/Star Wars.
Big shot gangster, putting together crew. You in?
I waited a long time for a shot like this.
What are you doing with Harry and the boy?
We need a ship.
The Millennium Falcon.
Every ship isn't for everyone.
It's
Rooster needs a particular type of pilot.
You done flirting?
These people are not your friends. There's a lesson to be learned here.
I got a really good feeling about this.
Let's do some spoiler talk here for Solo. Have you guys looked at this stuff that we got here in the notes? Because we've got, I'm really excited to talk to Mark about this, especially because it refers to Legends. And every time I think of Legends, I think of Mark Herleman. So there was a children's book that has come out called Train Heist. It's based on the movie Solo. Uh-huh. It's dealing with the character. It's on Amazon. It's showing Chewbacca and Han Solo riding the double-sided train that we see in the trailer. And it describes a snow planet where the heist is taking place. And it indicates that the new canon is once more cherry-picking from the Legends stories, as comicbook.com is stating here. And the blurb says on the book, Han Solo and Chewbacca, the Wookiee, must team up for a daring train heist on the planet Vandor. Now, does that mean anything to you, Mark, when I say Vandor?
Well, it is. It reminds you of the Qui-Gon Jinn book. What was it they did on Vandor? I want to say that was later in the series.
Did they close the Vandor?
These
jokes are so bad, but they just keep coming to me. It's like, Chewie, yeah. Close the Vandor.
No, the first one was in Jedi Apprentice, right? The Deadly Hunter. And I want to say that was close to where Qui-Gon's girlfriend died, I believe. But I can't remember much about the details of the planet. Like, I think the planet was just one of the many places that they went to along the way.
Hmm.
Let me see.
So they made...
It's been so long. So Jude Watson was the one that wrote the series that first utilized it. And if you have no idea about what it was basically back when Obi-Wan was still a Padawan. And it starts out, he hasn't even been picked by Qui-Gon. And so you go through the process from Obi-Wan's point of view as he gets picked by Qui-Gon. And even then, it's kind of like on a trial basis. Like, he doesn't quite get in to win with Qui-Gon until much later. But this one, it's not even till the 11th book in the series. So it's way in there. But Jude Watson, like, if you have a chance to read this series and the other Jude Watson series from the Legends continuity, they are a really cool set of stories. You know, they deal with Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon, then Obi-Wan and Anakin. And while you're dealing with Obi-Wan and Anakin has a rival named Ferris Olin, who in the third series, it's all about Ferris Olin. And in fact, Obi-Wan leaves Tatooine to go and help Ferris Olin during his series, which was The Last of the Jedi. Not to be confused with the movie that came out without the in there one more time. But yeah, that planet, I don't remember much about it aside from the fact that that's where it sprung forward and there was stuff. I want to say there was like a mining operation or something going on there.
But it was, a snow planet, or was it? What do you remember if it was snow planet? Because it's Vandor 3.
In this case,
it's Vandor 3. Yeah, but in the movie there, or in this other story from Han Solo, it's Vandor. So maybe it's just coincidence, or do you think they are pulling that from Legends?
Yeah. So the description of Vandor 3, it was a planet very rich in flora and fauna. It had polar regions that were home to several carnivorous creatures, jungles in the northwest area. So yeah, I think they just took the name, which I'm down for. Like, it doesn't have to be the same planets, you know. Go ahead, reuse those names.
Well, there's another apparent connection to Legends. So we've learned about the villain in Solo, whose name is Envy's Nest, and he
Envy's Nest. I think
Envy's. See, we have to all these names we have to learn now.
Kind of like,
is it Han or Han? Leia or Leia?
I think it's supposed to be, kind of think of it like empty nest, but it's
Enfys nest.
I think that's I want to say that's how I've heard, but I mean,
there used to be a TV show called Empty Nest. Is that what this is? No. So anyway, Enfys Nest, through the Force Link 2.0 action figure package from Hasbro, it reveals he'll be the leader of a swoop bike gang called the Cloud Riders. And that name is also taken from Legends, from the Marvel Comics run on Star Wars. Do you guys remember that? Mm-hmm. I don't.
No, that one was before my time when I was reading those comics. But I do remember when that came out, people were like, oh, yeah, the Cloud Riders are back, man. Like, I'm like, okay. I don't remember, but sure.
Yeah, see, that seems vaguely remember, because I was all about the swoop bikes when I was a kid. That was one of the things I think I've told Bruce this, but Mark, when I was younger, I'm like, okay, they're doing a new Star Wars movie, and it's like, we're doing races. I'm like, sweet, I love swoop bikes. And they're like, nope, pod races. I'm like, what is this crap? I'm like, I want swoop bikes. Now, does it say in there that Enfys Nest is, does it say the gender?
No. It's of the gender of Enfys Nest. It says he'll be the leader. So yeah, he.
Okay, for some reason, I've been hearing that it's a she.
Mm.
So, I don't know.
Well, maybe it's one of those where everybody assumes it's a he and we find out it's a she, kind of like what John Jackson Miller did with the Tusken Raider that was in charge. You know, normally women weren't in charge, so she kind of just let everyone assume she was a he.
Look, this is a sidetrack, but you brought it up, Mark, so I blame you. The one thing, in fact, actually, I was talking to you when I was reading this. The one thing that bothered me about that is I felt like it was so perfectly set up that she should have been, I can't remember the guy's name, but should have been his wife. You know who I'm talking about? The guy who she ends up like imprisoning there at the end?
Oh, yeah. What the heck was that character's name?
But
I've drawn a blank on what the character's name, but I know what you're talking about.
The antagonist of the story. Because, you know, he basically, like, he insisted earlier that someone was dead, and he's like, there's no way. But he had said, you know, prior to that his wife and child had been killed by Tuskens. But we're like, well, clearly he doesn't actually verify anything. He just, you know, makes assumptions. So I'm like, what if that was his wife? And then, because, you know, she had that child that I think he killed, mm-hmm. actually. And what if that was actually his child? I'm like, that would be like the perfect twist at the end. And then he just never like stated that. And I'm like, what are you doing? It's right there. John, call me.
You can't write this, but you wrote it. It's perfect. Connect the dot. You go from 99 back to zero, John. You make the picture perfect. But yeah, these Cloud Riders, though, they only showed up, all in this arc. It was Star Wars 8, 9, 10, and 11. And even in 11, it was just a mention only. So, like, they were a flash in the pan. I think sometimes, you know, when these things happen, you know, we hear, like, oh, it's a legend thing. But sometimes they're just small little, it happens to be. Sometimes, like, for me, these ones are more exciting than, like, when you take, like, the name of a book you've already used and reuse that again. Like, that, to me, that one's a little more, not dare say insulting, but I don't really feel that insulted. But in this case, like, you know, it's not that big of a deal. It's not like you're taking a published work and trying to say that you've redone the name for it and you're using it again. But because these, you know, we're talking a Marvel comic here, where you look them up when you go like their wiki page and stuff, like these are some cheesy looking swoop bikes. Like the swoop bikes look more like sleds, really. Like looks like something you'd see like on a Disney ride where everybody climbs onto the thing and you're going to go down Splash Mountain. It doesn't look like something like, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger's going to be hopping on and get into the chopper. Are we going to swoop this up? Like,
well, maybe they will make this a Disney ride in the new Star Wars land, you know?
I'm down with that. You want to do some swoop bike ride? Racing and stuff, like, yeah, so Mike, I'm with you on the swoop bike aspect, because like I remember loving the fact that Dengar's head was all messed up from Han crashing the swoop bike on top of him. Like, I thought that was like the best way to make Dengar like a number one villain for Han Solo. I was like, he's like the Norman Osborn of return villains, but no. Yeah. they never went that route.
So I've been looking up Enfys Nest, and yeah, we don't know if this person's male or female. It says, I see on comicbook.com that a new Hot Wheels toy honoring the character includes a description in which Enfys is referred to as she, contradicting the recent report that the character was male. So there's contradictions out there. We don't know, and maybe we won't even know after the film. I don't know. Because there's a mask.
Contradictions in Star Wars?
Never.
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 Oh. Yeah, I think that may be something that they've been trying to kind of keep quiet and maybe
Why would that be a secret? Like, why make a big deal about that? You know, just like, is it male or female? Why make that a secret?
Well, but maybe it was like with Phasma, right? Phasma was supposed to be a male character, and then
we knew before the movie we were like we should make her a female,
and then they did. So maybe that was one of those things too that they were like, well,
old information from when it was originally a male, and then they did a character change.
Well, I mean, remember when the Lego stuff first leaked for Solo, and everyone's like, the Falcon doesn't look like that. That's so BS. You guys are pulling this stuff. You're just making this stuff up on Photoshop. No, that's legit, yo. And everybody was like, for real? Like, what? Like, the story's coming. Don't worry. They'll tell you.
Exactly.
But Falcon was already shown. They're gonna tell you.
Yeah, just like, you know, calm down, people. Wait till the story comes out. Wait till you watch the movie. Then you can complain, because you probably will anyway.
You know what? I kind of wonder if, you know, with what we're getting and this, like, that since there is a bit of, like, confusion / mystery about this, I wonder if there won't be a reveal that...
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
The Impfy is actually Kira.
Snoke. Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's, I'm with you.
Well, it's Kira riding on Snoke's shoulders.
It's right. No, but I think you're right, because that's...
Well, no, she's going to be on stilts, because it looks like Enfys taller. Yeah. Or Enfys taller.
But
Han,
no, I think
anyway.
You're right.
But she doesn't look
taller.
Because
like I said, why keep it a secret if this person's male or female, unless there's some reveal. And it doesn't have to be Kira. It could be anybody that we meet in the film.
But it's probably Kira on Snoke's shoulders.
Well, okay, so that gets to the next thing. So we do have a Kira action figure that's part, I guess, of these Cloud Riders. I almost said Clown Riders, you know.
Clown Riders. It's a totally different movie. Like, okay. They're just like running around.
They all come out of one Falcon, a whole bunch of them. But Emilia Clarke's character, Kira, might have something to do with the villains, because the description on the figure says that at 18 years of age, young Kira is already enmeshed in a life of crime, working for a gang on Corellia. So she's a gang member.
Done.
She's
done.
So she may be bad, good, and then... Oh, look, and Michael's got the figure right there. And so the description is correct, right?
Yeah, I'm reading on the back. I'm like, that's exactly correct.
Now, when you look at her in the box, does she look like she's evil and part of a gang, or does she look nice?
She looks to me...
why does it say 66
girl
on the back?
Next door or no,
the box
mama.
Is 66. She's order 66.
Yeah, she is number 66. That's funny. But now, hopefully, anyone who... was ever a fan of or watched enough of How I Met Your Mother, she looks like Robin Sparkles to me. I mean, you see it like her wardrobe. And anybody who thinks that I'm like making fun, no, I'm all about that. That is awesome. because I mean, honestly though, because it does to me, this looks like an 80s wardrobe, and like we've always had. Star Wars would kind of they would pick attires from a certain time period, so I'm like, why not the 80s? The 80s was a very distinct time period in fashion, so you know,
techno retro before it was retro.
I think it's super cool, and it's also really reminds me of Robin Sparkles, so I'm all about it.
Yeah, I almost wonder if she is. Well, a bad girl, but not like, you know, a criminal. But I think they're all bad
characters.
Oh, they're
drawn that way? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Think about this. We've already been warned, right? Woody Harrelson's character warns Han not to trust anybody. She's going to betray Han.
She's got to. We don't see her in any other movies or anything.
Mark, you don't think that she's actually in with the rebels and then she ends up getting killed later on?
You don't think?
Oh, you're thinking like going to like a Bria type?
Yeah, A.C. Like, Crispin's books. Yeah.
Okay. No, we could go that route.
Can we
see her as an
old lady in Star Wars Resistance?
She's her and Ezra.
It's a little early yet. Maybe down the road. I mean, you know, eventually I'm going to be pushing that because I'll fall in love with the character because Emilia Clarke is just awesome and everybody can't help but fall in love with whatever she does, whether it's sadly depressing or ripping a heart out of a monster. Like she just does it with flair. But you know me, I want everything to connect at some point. So yeah, like if there's a way to make it work, like let's have her show up at Han's funeral and put that in like a flashback.
Well, let's have at least one of these characters besides Chewbacca show up in episode 9.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, what if it's Donald Glover as Lando and we find out that Lando found the Fountain of Youth?
Or went through the portal because Ezra pulled him through.
Uh-huh. Right. He's like, if I'd have just found Han.
Han.
What's the sword doing here?
Wait a minute. No, Ezra was waiting at the bottom of the pit. He caught Han. Han's alive.
Oh, well, mm-hmm. May 25th, we'll see Solo. So we'll if we get any more spoilers or anything more inside info into Solo, we will cover it here on the Star Wars Report. But that's all we have for now. So that's the end of the show, I'm so sorry to say. So, Michael mm-hmm. Morris, where can people find you when they want to the stalk internet. You? On the internet. Great. Mark Herleman, where are you on Twitter?
Oh, Illogical Rogue 2. Find me there and other places.
And you can find me on Twitter at Morris Eyes. I'm just getting
that's me. Don't do it. Don't go there for him. That's mine.
Mr. Cloud City Casino.
That's right. I do another podcast on this network, Cloud City Casino. And then, of course, I'm on Twitter and Instagram as Morris Eisley.
Yes. And, of course, mm-hmm. Mark is on Star Wars Beyond the Films.
Mm-hmm. As well as Padawan Perspective.
So, Mark, do you have a co-host on Beyond the Films?
Yeah, one Nathan P.
Awesome.
Butler.
What?
Or as I like to say, Nathan
no, that's
P.
impossible because
Butler!
I have a co-host named Nathan P. Butler.
No, yours is Nathan P.P. Butler because I gave
hey
you the
guys,
clone.
I'm going to rip off my mask. I'm Nathan P. Butler.
Wow. I feel like I'm in the Inception.
Now, if you listeners could have just saw that video, like I was actually expecting to see Nathan's face underneath there. Like he actually pulled it off.
Well, yeah, and then you can follow me on Twitter at Admiral_Rex. And so that ends the show. And many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
That's mm-hmm. Can we like now as we're trying to move forward, can we try to like maybe lower our Bothan death count? It's just that
I just want them to still look like they looked in Legends. Like we have no canon actual appearance of a Bothan, and I'm afraid they're gonna pull a fast one and be like, yeah, they always look like kittens.
I do want to see a Bothan. I so want to see a Bothan really bad.
It's the thing is, like, I wouldn't worry about it if it wasn't for the fact that they told us at Dragon Con that, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, I tried to put a Bothan in, and they were like, no. And so we're like, yeah, they told me the same thing. And then we start realizing that there's this big conspiracy that they're not letting any of the artists put Bothans in the books.
Yeah, that's right.
No Bothans, no Yoda's A, or no Yoda species. It's like, God, what's going on?
That. Yeah. That's really weird. Why aren't we not seeing Bothans if they can't put them in the books?
Yeah, there's like something up with that. And then what's even more annoying is when you're like, oh, Canto Bight, that's a Bothan. And then Pablo Hidalgo is like, it's not a Bothan. I'm like, all right, sorry. God, I'm ahead
of
like,
Pablo. That's not a Bothan. I'm the Bothan.
Go draw it.
They should make Bothans.
No,
look like
I'm
Pablo.
The Bothan. Oh, yes.
Goodness. All right.
And ooh. On that note, we cue the Pablo.